live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. Donald Kavanagh at the news desk. The PSNI suspects the new IRA was responsible for placing a bomb beside the car of a part-time police officer in County Derry. People in the Northwest are being urged to get tested for COVID-19 if they develop symptoms. We'll have a special report. Europe's health regulator says unusual blood clots should be listed as very rare side effects of the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine, but the overall benefits outweigh the risks. The Public Expenditure Minister says falling case numbers will see pubs and other businesses reopen in good time, but not yet. And a Donegal TD is calling for the publication of two documents on fisheries after what he claimed is unfair allegations. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. Kenny's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the PSNI's statement this afternoon that they believe the new IRA was responsible for placing a bomb beside the car of a part-time police officer in County Derry. The young mother noticed the suspicious device close to her home in the Dungiven area yesterday. Bomb experts have confirmed it was a viable device, and police say a strong line of inquiry is that the attack was the work of the so-called new IRA. PSNI Assistant Chief Constable Mark McEwen says a mother and her young toddler could have been killed.
This was designed to cause a fireball which would have engulfed the victim's car and anyone in it or anyone close by, anyone calling to the house or anyone in the proximity. What is really distressing here is the terrorists placed the bomb at the rear of the car directly at the point where the victim's three-year-old daughter sits. This demonstrates the complete and utter disregard for the life of a mother and her toddler.
First Minister Arlene Foster has spoken to the police officer who was targeted.
I stand, as does my entire party, with the brave woman targeted by Republicans and utterly condemn those who have sought to harm her and her family. I do give thanks that she has survived this dreadful murder attempt, and when I spoke to this lady earlier, I give her my prayerful support and indeed solidarity at this difficult time.
People in the Northwest are being urged to get tested for COVID-19 if they develop symptoms. In a statement this afternoon, the HSE's Public Health Northwest branch urged people to continue to follow COVID guidance and to contact their GP or out-of-hours service immediately if they develop symptoms. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
The region's Director of Public Health is urging the people of Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim to get tested if they develop symptoms. Dr. Anthony Breslin said cases have not decreased as much as expected and outbreaks are occurring at schools, workplaces and among families. If you develop symptoms, Dr. Breslin said, get tested via your GP, and if you're at work or in school, leave and get tested. Do not stay on at work or school if you are ill, and please reduce socialising. The HSE says those being tested will be required to follow public health measures, including social distancing, not travelling by public transport, practising good personal hygiene and wearing a face covering throughout the test appointment. Today's statement concludes by encouraging all members of the public identified as requiring a COVID-19 test to attend for their appointment, which will allow them identify those who have contracted the virus and take steps to prevent its further spread.
Europe's health regulator says unusual blood clots should be listed as very rare side effects of the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. However, the European Medicines Agency says the overall benefits of the vaccine outweigh the risks. In a statement, the EMA says it took into consideration all the data currently available. 8 reports of serious cases of unusual blood clots in the US, with one death. As of April 13th, over 7 million people in the States had received the one-shot vaccine. A health expert here says, meanwhile, there is no evidence that the new Indian COVID variant is more dangerous than other strains. The UK has added India to its quarantine list because of fears over the variant. Officials yesterday confirmed 3 cases of the strain in Ireland. Well, DCU Professor of Health Systems, Anthony Staines, says there is still a lack of information.
To my knowledge, no one knows if it's more transmissible than the B117 variant, which is the main virus in Ireland right now and has been since Christmas. And also no one knows if it causes more severe illness. There isn't a lot of indication that it's either of these things.
The Public Expenditure Minister says falling case numbers will see pubs and other businesses reopen in good time. It comes as pubs in Dublin mark 400 days since they were told to shut their doors, with non-food serving bars staying shut since last March. Minister Michael McGrath says while he sympathises with publicans, the country needs COVID-19 numbers to continue to drop.
I think it is completely understandable that publicans and all of those who work with them are deeply frustrated. It has been an enormous length of time that they simply have not been unable to trade. But I think it's important to recognise we're making very significant progress, and we need to make sure that we continue to make steady progress.
A branch of the Irish Catholic Association says it was behind a large public gathering in Leitrim over the weekend. The prayer meeting was held at the Loch Allen Adventure Centre in Drumshambo on Sunday afternoon. With more, here's Daniel Considine.
In a statement to Shannonside Northern Sound News, the Leitrim branch of the Irish Catholic Association confirmed that they had held a prayer meeting at the Allen Centre in Drumshambo on Sunday afternoon. New laws introduced last week could see people receive a fine of up to €127 or 6 months in prison for attending specified events in contravention of current health guidelines. Following a complaint from a member of the public to An Garda Síochána, local Gardaí attended the scene and engaged with members of the group. According to the secretary of the Leitrim branch, Sean Wynne, Gardaí requested that the meeting cease and those gathered disband, with the instruction complied with.
A Donegal TD is urging Marine Minister Charlie McConnellogue to ensure the immediate publication of the European Commission's 2018 audit and the Sea Fisheries Protection Authority administrative inquiry. Deputy Patrick McLaughlin, who is Sinn Féin's spokesperson on fisheries and the marine, says these have led to the end of a derogation which allowed catches be transported from the piers in Ireland to factories. A decision that he says will compound the impact of the loss of fishing quota after Brexit, that transportation allowed before the catch was weighed. Deputy McLaughlin says media coverage in Ireland on the back of the leaking of these reports has suggested widespread illegality was the reason for the change. He maintains that's not the case.
There's been one conviction in the last decade, and that's despite the fact that we have the Sea Fisheries Protection Authority, who've had a budget and staff numbers multiplying by tenfold over that period. So you're a very heavily resourced regulator that polices the industry, and the industry are protesting their innocence. And the problem I have as a public representative is the evidence that's been used to present this image of the industry has not been actually given to the industry so they can defend themselves.
There are changes to protocols which you believe will have a very negative impact on the way the actual fishery sector organises on a day-to-day basis.
These changes announced in the last 48 hours have actually pushed the industry into serious crisis on top of a crisis that followed from the EU-UK trade agreement. Basically now, across every single pier and harbour in our state, you have to have it weighed on the actual pier or harbour. And that's a massive challenge for the state and for the fishing industry, and will put us at a huge disadvantage compared to other European states. I myself have seen the weighing systems in the factories at Killybegs. I've seen them with my own eyes, and the level of oversight is incredible. You have 24-hour CCTV with a link directly to the SFPA, which are policing the industry. You have tamper-proof devices. You have all sorts of oversight that's possible there. Unannounced inspections can happen at any time. I don't know any industry that is as regulated as heavily. So I would like to see the evidence myself, but more importantly, the industry need to see the evidence if they're to defend themselves.
Donegal-based manufacturing firm Houston Precision Engineering is to create 41 new jobs in Strabane with a £2 million investment. The company has purchased over 3 acres of land at the Strabane Business Park to build a new factory. It'll lead to the creation of the new jobs. Martin Houston of the company says the strategy is to treble their sales by 2025 with the existing facility in Letterkenny and the new base in Strabane. He says concerns about the impact of Brexit were what started the process.
Initially, this was driven by Brexit. We have customers on the northern side of the border, and we had concerns about keeping them supplied.
If you're exporting to the EU, you can do so from the plant in Letterkenny. If you're exporting to Northern Ireland and GB, you can do so from within Strabane. So in a sense, you have both bases covered there.
That's the idea, you know. But like, you know, it was initially, it was Brexit that drove it. But now the way things have developed, you know, we're quite happy to go ahead with the plan. The manufacturing is quite strong. You know, it may not seem that, you know, in these COVID times, but manufacturing, particularly to do with that quarry manufacturing industry, in Northern Ireland is very strong and the demand is there. We know this from the feedback from our customers.
You'll also be in the good position of, because the Letterkenny and Strabane plants are so close together, that there can be shared expertise. I mean, someone can get from Letterkenny to Strabane in less than 30 minutes. So it isn't as though you're trying to run one plant in somewhere like Peterborough and the other somewhere like Limerick. You do have that closeness that they'll be able to work very closely together.
Oh yeah, that's one of the main reasons why I chose Strabane. And, you know, there's the business park there on the Omer Road. It's quite a good location on the River Mourne there. So, yeah, it's near Letterkenny, and that's one of the advantages, and near to our customers as well in the north.
And that was Martin Hewson of Hewson Precision Engineering. The Taoiseach has dismissed the prospect of an early border poll. Micheál Martin suggested going to the polls in the near future would be divisive. Now, he said, is the time to reduce tensions. Earlier, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson told a BBC Spotlight programme that a referendum on Ireland's reunification is a very, very, very long way away. Now, Sinn Féin Deputy Matt Carthy says he's not overly concerned by what Boris Johnson says, but it's a different story with Micheál Martin.
I think what people will find more disappointing is the fact that the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, has echoed his comments and sentiments. And that's very, very, very unsettling, I have to say, because there is a live conversation underway surrounding Irish unity.
Funding has been ring-fenced for the new Cleary Centre in Donegal Town, but there are calls for more progress on its delivery. The HSE has confirmed the capital budget for the project is €2.4 million. The procurement of a design team will get underway this year with money allocated. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty says pressure must now be put on the HSE to ensure that the development of the centre is brought to fruition as quickly as possible.
What we need to see now, and I think it's good news, the confirmation from the HSE to me this week that €2.4 million has been allocated for this project. It's an important project for those with intellectual disabilities in South Donegal, and it's an issue that I and the campaign group have been following up for quite a while. There will be progress in it this year. They have an allocation of the €2.4 million for 2021, which will allow for the procurement of a full design team. And really what we're encouraging the HSE now is to lose no time whatsoever to ensure that this facility is progressed as quickly as possible.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
14 minutes past five. We say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and the draw for the Ulster Senior Football Championship will be live this evening on RT's 6-1 News. Declan Boner's Donegal will be in the preliminary bowl with Down, Armagh, Antrim and Fermanagh. Meanwhile, in Leinster, Mickey Hart's first championship game in charge of Louth will be against Offaly in the first round. Dublin, meanwhile, they'll begin their quest for a seventh successive All-Ireland football title against either Wexford or Wicklow. Moving on to hurling, and holders Kilkenny, they await the winners of Laois and Wexford in the semi-finals of the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship. The other last four tie will see Galway play either Dublin or McDonagh Cup winners Antrim. Moving on to soccer in the Airtricity League, after their first defeat of the season last weekend, Finn Harps, they look to bounce back tonight at Longford Town. The full match is live here in Highland Radio from 7.45 kick-off time with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle on commentary. Adam Foley struggling with a knock picked up against Waterford 10 days ago and remains doubtful for Harps. Ryan Connolly remains sidelined by an injury picked up on the opening day. And Longford, they lost their last game in stoppage time against Shamrock Rovers on Saturday. Here's former Finn Harps player Raf Kitaro on tonight's opponents.
Look, they've had a great start again, you know. Darren Doyle is doing a fantastic job down there. They won't be easily broke down, and they took the lead, obviously, against Shamrock Rovers, you know, went 1-0 up against with a penalty from Dylan Grimes. It won't be an easy task. Again, they probably will be similar to Harps, you know, a tough schedule coming up, and, you know, no more than Harps, they'll have to deal with that as well because they're only part-time. You know, I think Ollie would have probably had one eye on that clash more so than Sligo Rovers, who will probably be challenging at the end of the season. He'd see himself more along the lines of, you know, beating Longford and Drogheda, as, you know, where he thinks they'll be at the end of the season.
Yes, Van Harps travelling down to play against Longford Town. 7:45 kick-off time. Full commentary here with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle. Meanwhile, Harps, they're a point adrift of the leading trio as reigning champion Shamrock Rovers, they go to Drogheda tonight. St Pat's take on Waterford and Sligo Rovers there in Dublin to play Bohemians. Meanwhile, two sides without a win in the Electricity League so far this season meet at the Brandywell with Derry hosting Dundalk. Sporting director Jim McGilton and academy boss Stephen McDonald. McDonald will be in the dugout for the Lilywhites. They're an interim charge following the departures of Shane Keegan and Filippo Giovangoli. The Derry City boss Declan Devine is hoping the positivity around the club can now create positive results.
As I see in this league at the minute, anybody's capable of beating anybody, and I think we got to take confidence that performances are picking up. They're not where we want them to be just yet, and nobody's patting ourselves in the back. We're no far from it, but there's a lot of positivity here, and we have to strive to get better.
In the Irish League Premier Division tonight, there's three games down for decision. Portadown, they host Larne. Warren Point play Glenavon. And Glentoran, they can move ahead of Coleraine and go into second place if they can win at Cliftonville. Meanwhile, Irish FA President David Martin has been elected as the FIFA Vice President after winning the vote for the position reserved for the UK associations. The Northern Ireland candidate got 48 of the 55 votes in the election. Cross Channel Chelsea can move up into third place in the Premier League tonight with a home victory over Brighton. Having secured promotion at the weekend in the Championship, Norwich will seal the Championship title if they defeat Watford tonight. Elsewhere, Brentford, they play Cardiff. Preston North End, they play Derby County. Sheffield Wednesday are up against Blackburn. And Swansea play Queen's Park Rangers. In other news, cross-channel, Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola says he doesn't agree with the proposed format of the European Super League. City are one of six Premier League sides who have signed up to the breakaway tournament. It's expected to have neither promotion nor relegation, and Guardiola says it's not a proper competition.
A sport is not a sport when the relation between the effort and the success, the effort and reward, don't exist. So it's not a sport. So it's not a sport of the success is already guaranteed. It's not a sport and it doesn't matter if you lose.
The remaining 14 Premier League clubs have expressed their unanimous and vigorous disapproval of the Super League plans. They're considering all avenues open to them. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has promised to drop a legislative bomb on the breakaway sextet following meetings with English football's key stakeholders. Paris Saint-Germain chairman Nasser El Khelaifi has distanced his club from the Super League. It's widely anticipated the French champions would join the breakaway entity. However, El Khelaifi says the Super League would not resolve football's wider issues. Moving on to swimming, and Mona McSherry has booked her place at the Tokyo Olympics. The Sligo woman swam inside the 100-metre breaststroke qualifying time at this morning's Irish Olympic trials. The 20-year-old posted a new Irish senior record of 1 minute 6.97 seconds in this morning's heats to secure her place at this summer's Olympics. And in rugby, the new Guinness Pro 14 Rainbow Cup competition has been thrown into disarray before it's scheduled to start this weekend. The four teams from South Africa are all set to pull out, with local reports claiming they won't be able to come to Europe due to travel restrictions. And finally, in snooker, Mark Allen just needs three more frames tonight to reach the World Championship second round. The Antrim man ended this morning's session at the Crucible with a 7-2 lead over Liu Haitan. Currently at the table, Ding Jung Wei trails Stuart Bingham by 8-7, while Judd Trump, he's 6-2 ahead against Liam Highfield. That's all your sport. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, it's been confirmed the roadmap for unlocking the economy over the coming months will be revealed on Friday of next week. Ministers have scheduled a second dedicated cabinet meeting next week to decide on the issue. It'll likely include the reopening of retail, personal services and the full construction sector in May. The plan for June and July, which would include intercounty travel and the hospitality sector, is also set to be revealed on Friday week. Additional resources are being sought to support cross-border education in the Northwest region. The most recent meeting of the Northwest Regional Development Group received updates outlining the opportunities for student mobility across Ulster University, Northwest Regional College, LYIT and Donegal ETB. The group's chair is Councillor Sandra Duffy from Derry. She's written to Minister Simon Harris and his northern counterpart Diane Dodds to ensure that funding is forthcoming.
At our previous meeting of the Northwest Regional Development Group, we had a presentation from the third level education education providers across the North West City region. We had Ulster University there, we had LYIT, North West Regional College, and the Donegal Education and Training Board. And the work that they're doing, the collaboration that they are involved in, is vital for our plans for the North West City region. We are concentrating on the economic development of the area, and one of that the drivers of that is going to be third level education in terms of keeping our young people here, keeping our talent here and developing that, and allowing our young people in terms of that cross-border collaboration and that cross-border opportunities that are sitting there. So we have now written to Minister Harris and Minister Dodd in terms of looking for a sustainable way to fund this going forward.
And it's vital that support is given not only from one side of the border but from both.
Absolutely. This is a cross-border project. We are in the North West City region in a very unique position. The way we work is very unique in terms of the collaborative approach that we take to that work. We currently have both the Irish government and the executive providing $2.5 million in terms of the strategic approach that we take. So we are just looking for both governments to again to commit in terms of the third level education.
And that was Councillor Sandra Duffy speaking there to Michaela Clark. A recent survey conducted by Letterkenny Chamber has revealed that domestic recession and the post-Brexit impact remain key concerns for businesses in the town and its regions, as well as the impact of COVID-19. The majority of businesses are reporting a drop in turnover, with almost a third of them still closed as a result of the pandemic. Well, commenting on the survey's results, the CEO of Letterkenny Chamber, Tony Forrester, said the government must step in to protect the sustainability of businesses in a post-COVID environment.
I was actually quite surprised. 75% were worried about a domestic recession. We have been trying to say all along that at the moment money is cheap for governments. So our argument is the government should spend their way out of this. Government need to keep on going with their national development plan. They need to keep on spending. And they need to obviously have a stimulus. And there's been a bit of chat in the media this weekend about a stimulus package. But there has to be. Yes, there's lots of people out there who maybe work in jobs that have kept on working the whole time and haven't been able to spend their money on holidays and large projects. So there is a bit of pent-up demand, but there's also lots of people who were on the PUP payment and haven't got jobs to go back to yet. And, you know, so there's a balancing act. They have to step in and keep the economy going.
And that was Tony Forrester of Letterkenny Chamber speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. Well, the government has approved new anti-ticket touting and reselling legislation. The new bill bans the resale of tickets to live venues, matches and concerts at designated venues above face value. Anyone who breaks the law will face a fine of up to €100,000 or up to 2 years imprisonment. And that's the news. Looking at the weather forecast, it'll be dry and cold tonight with clear spells, lows to temperatures 2 to 4 degrees Celsius in mostly light northeast breezes. Tomorrow Wednesday largely dry with sunny spells. A chance of one or two light showers tomorrow afternoon. Highest temperatures 13 to 15 degrees Celsius in moderate easterly breezes. And that's the news for now. Taking a closing look at the headlines, and the PSNI say the new IRA was responsible for placing a bomb beside the car of a part-time police officer in the north. The young mother noticed the suspicious device close to her home in the Dungiven area of County Derry yesterday. People in the northwest are being urged to get tested for COVID-19 if they develop symptoms. In a statement this afternoon, HSE Public Health Northwest urged people to continue to follow COVID guidelines. They say the drop in the number of cases isn't as steady as they would like. Europe's Health Regulator says unusual blood clots should be listed as very rare side effects of the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine, but the European Medicines Agency said the overall benefits of the vaccine do outweigh the risks. And the Public Expenditure Minister says falling case numbers will see pubs and other businesses reopening good time. Announcements due on Friday week. Back again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 20th of April. The death has taken place of Michael Quigley, 23, Glen Road, Strabane. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Parkinson Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Michael's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via mcnmedia.tv/camera/Church of the Immaculate Conception Strabane on Thursday at 12 noon. The death has taken place at her residence of Margaret Gallagher, 271 Skeag Cottages, Bridgend. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in St Ingus's Church, Birt, followed by interment in Birt Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly for family with a limit of 10 people. Margaret's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Birt. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Society of St Vincent de Paul, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The tragic death has taken place of Patrick McGinley, Chapel View, Kilmacrenan. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 11 in St Columbus Church, Kilmacrenan. That can be viewed live on the Kilmacrenan Parish Facebook page. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In compliance with government and HSE guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are strictly private to family only, please. The death has occurred of Frances Williams, née Quinn, 28 Railway Avenue, Killigordon. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon Facebook page. In compliance with current HSC and government guidelines, the house funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please. A maximum of 10 people permitted. And the death has taken place of Margaret McLaughlin, the Thistle Clonbeg Buncrana, and formerly of Glasgow, Scotland. Margaret's remains are reposing at her late residence with the wake strictly private, please, at the wishes of the deceased. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the house funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted.